Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I am your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and this week we are joined by not only Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello.
Say hello, Tony. Thank you very much.
Hello.
But also the maestro, Tim Marlowe from Magnitude Finance.
Good afternoon.
Yes, here he is. We are finally doing our car financing special. Something Tony and I have been promising for a long, long time. It's something I have touched on the main channel, Seen Through Glass, a few times before. And finally, we're doing it, Tim. So thank you so much for coming and joining
us.
We're going to go in deep. We're getting deep with car financing. It's something that I feel like a lot of you who are listening to this podcast and watch the main channel have questions about. So we're going to try and answer as many as possible. Tim is here to sort of be our expert. Tony's here to sort of provide an insight from a car salesman point of view. And then I'm here from a car buyer's point of view. Because, Tim, you have financed like five of my cars, I think.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. So, again, something I talk about a lot.
We've had a journey.
It's been emotional at times. I've definitely caused you a few nosebleeds. I want to pay less. But we're going to be getting into all of that. If you are joining us for the first time here on the YouTube channel, thank you very much. Make sure to hit subscribe and turn notifications on so you do not miss future episodes. If you are listening to us, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you are following us wherever you are listening to us. Rightio, shall we just dive straight in head first? Who here wants to explain what is car financing? Tim, do you mind if I throw to you first? What actually is car financing?
Straight in at the deep end, eh? I guess the easiest way to say it is someone wants to buy a car, they can't afford to pay for it outright, so they decide to finance it.
This is not car leasing.
Not leasing. No, not leasing at all, and only applies to guys in the UK that have UK income, UK property, based over here. We have done some guys that based in UK and abroad 50-50 the time, but they have to have a footprint in the UK to make it work.
So I think the big confusion usually comes here is because in America, car leasing is very, very popular. And hello to all of our American listeners and viewers. And that essentially is kind of like long-term renting the car, right, Tony? Is leasing is like long-term renting the car.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's difficult to get out of, right?
You're using, fixed equipment. Well, financing is borrowing the money to buy the car.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, I'm glad I figured that one out. So yes, two very different things. And then as Tim mentioned in this podcast, we are talking about the UK market. Car financing does exist in other places around the world, right? In different forms.
We maybe need to open the LA office. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm so keen.
PCP, I think PCP originally come from America. I think that's where it come from.
Well, we're going to break down very shortly the different various forms of financing. PCP, hugely popular here in the UK, right?
It's saved the car industry, I think.
Here we go. Bloody hell.
Most people tend to offer now, and the benchmark out there, certainly for the volume brands, a lot of them do that on PCP.
Minutes in and we had a big claim already from Tony. I love it. We're straight on it.
It's nice to have a guest as well, because I haven't
great
to just
have a guest,
got
isn't
to
it?
Talk to you all the time.
Yeah, I don't have to just stare at your face. And we put Tim in between us.
I know, I'm in the middle.
Yeah, well, Tony and I have to sort of slightly got tired of each other now. It's got to that point where we don't really want to be close to each other. So,
but I can't get a word in edgeways anyway, because you just keep talking.
You're actually almost out of shot, which I quite like too. I've just looked up
at
the camera.
Amazing.
And you're hardly in this podcast, but thanks for coming along.
Yeah, no,
thanks also for letting us use your office, which still has the lovely plant in it from previous episodes. Those are long-term viewers, you may recognise. Should we get the plant a name?
A name?
Yeah, like Patrick the Plant.
It's the same colour as your Cayman.
Cayman's a bit boring.
I did have a bit built for all this, but you've buffed it.
Buffed it.
Yeah, you put your nose up to it.
One day we will be moving out to this infamous balcony that is going to be the setting for our future podcast.
But it's beautiful.
Every time I come, I decide against it because either I've bought the wrong equipment or I'm just not in the mood. So we're staying here with Patrick. I've called him Patrick the plant. And then
is that because of Ireland? Because of Greece?
Yeah, there we go. Paddy the plant. I should stop that, shouldn't I? That's Italian, mate. Anyway, back to the financing special. So we've kind of touched on the very top line of sort of what car financing is. However, there are a million different ways to do it. So, Tim, I'm going back to you again. Are there sort of two
or three... I'm not splitting all a million in this episode, surely. 35 minutes? Yeah.
That would be a very boring episode. The sort of most common ones, am I correct in saying HP?
HP. So HP, very brief, you'll take the finance over a term, normally anywhere between 2 and 5 years. At the end of the term, you own the car outright and you've paid the finance off in full.
So it's a bit like a sort of loan that you're just chipping away at.
Very similar to a personal loan. Yeah.
Okay, fine. PCP.
So PCP, as Tony has mentioned, that is another form of financing. That is a personal contract purchase that has a guaranteed balloon at the end. So your options, again, whether you take it on 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, some do 5 years, you can hand the keys back at the end of the term, and as long as you've not exceeded the mileage limit, that's it, you're out of it. If you've gone over the mileage, you might have a bit of an extra amount to pay at the end. But yeah, that is the other most common one, as we probably suggested, in the UK at the moment.
So to break that down a little bit further, let's say we're talking about a £50,000 car. The dealer says that in 3 years' time, this is going to be worth £25,000. So essentially, you pay off 25 grand plus interest?
You pay £25,000 capital back, interest over the full amount, and then you give the keys back and walk away from it, and it's somebody else's risk. So you don't have to give the keys back. If the car is worth more than the balloon, they sometimes call it the residual at the end, you can part exchange it and use the equity to then go into another vehicle. So that is just one of the three options.
And Tony, am I right in saying that that's a big sort of dealer push? They often say if you go PCP, at the end of your deal, you might have a bit of cash to roll into the next car.
Yeah, unless you've got a Mercedes.
Well, as I say, that's the usual promise, right? I took a PCP out on my Audi TT and can tell you right now, I did not have any equity left to roll into the next car. I mean, I think they're like, you're at a loss, but we'll call it evens.
Yeah. How long did you keep it? The full term?
Nope.
There you go.
So, Tony, how does it work in that fund? Who are you deciding the balloon? Who's deciding the balloon? And how are you structuring a deal as a dealer?
So the bank decide the balloon.
Okay, we the don't future have value.
The future value. And they go by a guide, which is called CAP, which is what we all roughly go by. But it's a guide. Okay. It's not always 100% right. So sometimes we get cars in. Manufacturers are the worst for it. So Mercedes, Audi, BMW. They'll exaggerate that balloon payment. And the reason why they do that is the only way you're going to get out of that car is if you go back to them and part exchange it with them, and they'll give you a bit more money because they can sell it for a bit more. And it's just inflated, and it's just another way to get the monthly payment down, essentially.
Because the higher the balloon, the less you pay per month?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So they'll say, instead of saying it's worth £25,000 in 4 years or 3 years, they'll go, oh, it's going to be worth 30, you pay less per month, come back to us. But we all know that you might get screwed at the end of that.
I think the other factor to bear in mind is there, it's always linked to mileage as well. So most dealers will say, oh, just say you're doing 6,000 miles per annum. Yeah. Even though you're doing more, because then what happens is, with its lower mileage, the value at the end should predictably be worth more than
expect. So they use the mileage to work out. So don't lie in the don't say, I can do 1,000 miles a year and then do a road trip to Monaco the next day.
Yeah, so most banks will always do the balloon payment conservatively because they want to protect themselves. They kind of don't want you to hand the keys back. They want you to part exchange it. So you should have some money at the end. But like I said, some of the big manufacturers, because they just want to sell cars, they'll inflate that balloon payment and it's harder for you to get out.
So to a question to both of you, if you are walking in as Joe Bloggs to any car dealership and looking at PCP, is the balloon the thing you should be focusing on, or is it the interest or the monthly payment? What is your thing to really sort of nail down on?
I think it's a combination of each individual's profile at the time and what they're wanting out of it. Some people are very much payment led, some people are interest led. So how much interest they're paying back. And some people are actually just rate led. So what is the cheapest rate that they can get? So there's not a carte blanche, yes, just focus on that. It's looking at everything. Ultimately, the lower the rate, the APR, the less interest that you should typically be paying.
Okay.
And the advice that I'd give extended onto that is just don't spend beyond your means. If you don't spend beyond your means, then who cares what the two figures are at the end.
I think this will be the big theme in the final message to today's podcast, is that financing isn't always, firstly, the cheapest, probably not the cheapest way to buy a car, and not always the most sensible way to buy a car. But we're going to get onto that as a sort of some of our final points. Let's move on from PCP, because it is a sort of complicated one, but it's one of the most popular, so I do want to keep coming back to it. What's the sort of, is there a third?
Well, the other one that we tend to do a lot of is a cross between both of those. So it's a HP with a balloon, you could call it, but it's a non-guaranteed balloon at the end.
Okay.
So we still use the same kind of matrix to look at what the residual value is, but because it's the customer's risk, so bear that in mind, the client's risk rather than the lender's, there's sometimes a little bit more scope to go higher on that residual. And also with some of the specialist cars that we do, cap might not be quite where they need to be on the residuals.
For sure.
And you guys have all experienced this. So we'll put a bit more of a common sense approach and look at the market forces involved of where a car should be valued at the end.
I think that's a really interesting point that I want to jump on quickly, actually, because, so magnitude, you're independent, right? You do a lot of work with dealers, but you're broke? What would you class yourself as?
We're a broker. We've access to, let's say, at least 20 lenders in the market. So we've got two divisions. We've got a Magnitude Finance, which is one that goes direct to the clients, and then we have a dealer link division as well that works alongside dealers to give them the benefit of those products as well.
And you mentioned there that you do tend to do a lot of work with sort of like supercar or specialist cars. And I first came across you when I bought the Alfa 4C, which is still rare these days. And was in need of some specialist financing because I had no money.
Your one was very rare. Yeah. Been painted.
It was in half by the time I got rid of it.
It had a van in the side of it.
But within that, as you say, it's quite hard because in today's world, for example, let's talk about the McLaren F1 financing example you guys did a year or so ago. In today's world, where some cars appreciate, or cars like Tony's GT3 RS, yes, Tony, I'm bringing it up for you, are worth double what people are paying for them the next day. Some cars are depreciating hand over. Like, how can you accurately cap a car's, is that what it's called, cap a car's value? Or
yeah,
cap value?
I think cap is the market industry that people use to work out the balloons. But a lot of it is looking at a common sense approach. Using the knowledge that we've got and also linking to other people that know in the market, and I guess the underwriters that are deciding on what residuals are going to put on these cars, we decide ultimately what we feel it's worth. And if a car is appreciating in value, you're never going to get a residual higher than what you're borrowing, because that just wouldn't make sense. But we will try and make sure it links into the depreciation curve of these things as well.
So let's take a GT3 as an example, because it's quite good. So a list price GT3, Tony, is what with spec'd options?
Mine was 134.
134, and they're online for 180, do we
roughly
think? 180, roughly. So could you, for example, do an interest only borrowing or loan? Like, could you just pay the interest and not pay off any capital?
Yes, you can. What the underwriters like to look at there, though, and keeping things fairly simple, if you've got a reasonable size deposit, so let's say 20-25% deposit going into the car, we can put the balloon up higher to make it to the balloon is actually the same as what you're borrowing. So you are just paying interest back over the period of the finance, which will be typically 2 years. It's very rare that we'd do anything with nil deposit, because ultimately the underwriters do want some commitment from the customer. You won't go and buy a house without putting a deposit down.
Sure. Okay. So, and I'm assuming there's quite a lot of risk with interest only loans or deals?
Not really, because if the customer's putting money in up front, that's their commitment, and it means that even if the finance company, God forbid, have to repossess a car, that deposit would be lost, but the car should still be worth roughly where the finance outstanding is.
If it's a car like a GT3, it's got to have solid value.
Only if it's a solid value car, otherwise we might need more deposits up front. I think the key thing here is that we are looking at these. We're not going to put a value on a car that is above where we think it will be.
Okay, fair enough. And speaking of deposits, again to both of you, like what is a sort of recommended deposit? Tim, from a sort of a broker point of view, what do you like to have clients or customers putting in? And Tony, at what point do you think you're a joker? If you're looking at a finance and someone goes, I want to put £500 in, are you like, get out of my life? Or like, do you recommend an amount of money as well from a dealer point of view?
I think typically the 10% deposit is ideal. We do a lot with less than that, and then once we get up to the more expensive cars, we do take more deposit. But then we do have customers that come in and say, I don't want to put any money down, or I only want to put £1,000 down, and we have to turn and say to them, well, that looks negative before we've even got past go with the underwriters, because really you're not putting any commitment down. And that is one of the key things that we do try and steer customers on day one.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I would say. If someone come in on a 70 grand car and said, can I put 500 quid or a grand down?
That's
I wouldn't, unless they're so strong on paper.
Sure.
And the car warrants, maybe the car might be up cheap, or the car warrants that figure that they're trying to borrow, then I may try, but not normally. Okay. Because and quite often then people aren't really that serious either.
Sure, if they're just trying to chance it, basically. Yeah, trying to lock themselves into it.
The classic we do have is a customer's having to bail out of his old finance, been somewhere else, and he's got to put £10,000 to come out of that. He doesn't want to put any money down into his new car. So we have to have the explanation with them. Well, you're going to be in exactly the same position if you don't put more down on day one. And ultimately, we want to make it easier at the back end. It's easier parting with money on day one than it is handing it over when you're handing the car back.
You know, that's literally something that you explained to me. I remember this so well. I think, you know, even when I went from 4C to F-Type and then obviously F-Type onto bloody McLaren, you know, quite big, substantial jumps every single time. And I remember you saying this to me very early, saying that, look, it's better to bear that sort of cost when you're buying a car. It's exciting. You're buying a car, you might as well suck it up, because you can't escape that money. You're borrowing money, you're paying interest, and cars usually depreciate. So if you are, let's take simple man maths again, buying a car for £50,000 and you're borrowing £49,000 plus interest, it's very unlikely that the car is going to hold its value better than your money's going to, you're going to make your payments off. So at some point you're going to come to sell and you will be in negative equity. The car will be worth less than what you owe. Correct.
Yep, spot on. We do try and avoid that, because that's a risk to the customer and a risk to the lender as well. And it just doesn't sit well with anybody, to be honest. You're more likely to be in that kind of position, though, where I guess the lower value cars, hopefully the more expensive ones, will hold their value better. Not all, hey, Tony?
No.
But,
how's that AMG, Tony?
No, it's all right at the minute, that car. No, it's all right.
It's all right? You're doing okay? Yeah. You're surviving?
I dropped a... I won't swear.
Yeah,
I dropped a big pill on the McLaren, though.
Didn't wheel.
Doesn't everyone?
So, okay. We've touched a little bit on a couple of the, I guess, potential negatives or pitfalls. But let's talk about the positives, because we're all here as kind of, I guess, champions of financing, or at least I definitely am, which is why we're doing this podcast, because, as I say, Tim has very kindly financed five of my last cars. So why do people finance? What are the benefits and the positives to it?
I think let's be open to start off with. If you have the cash to buy a car, that is the cheapest way to go out and buy a car. Fact,
absolutely.
Agree with that, Tony?
Yeah. Agree. Unless.
Oh, here he is.
No, because I'm going to throw a curveball.
Please do.
If you're a property developer or someone like myself that need their own money to work, which is what I do.
You've just stole my line.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Then because of the rate of borrowing finance wise is quite competitive and cheap at the moment, it's cheaper to use their money than tie your own up.
Okay, I just want to break this down. You know, this is an idiot's guide to car financing and life. So what you're saying is, I like the £50,000 car example because it's just easy. If you can put in £25,000 and keep £25,000 to yourself that you, Tony, for example, can then invest into stock or do whatever, you might be able to make that money work harder and, in theory, keep earning you money rather than have it tied up in a car.
That is one of the sales lines that we do use when speaking to people.
You probably said it to me subconsciously. Yeah. It came back out of me. That's what it was. Yeah.
Did you have the money to buy the car?
No.
Okay. Just clear that one
I
up.
Never do. Yes.
If you can make your money work harder for you, there are other options, which is a lot of the time where we come into it, because a lot of the people we're dealing with, we hear about high net worths and football players, people like that do have lots of money. Most of those people do tend to fund their cars.
They do fund their cars. It's true.
Because they would prefer to keep the cash out doing other things.
And let's not forget, supercars on funding are a lot of money. So you need to be of a worth to be able to get these cars on finance. You can't just not have no money.
Well, a big part of this, and this comes back to the, you know, don't stretch beyond your means statement that we said earlier. Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Coming back to Tony's brilliant. Very good point. Brilliant. I mean, mate, I'm going to write that on a stone somewhere. As you say, firstly, it's expensive. We've already touched on the fact that it's more expensive than just buying the car cash. Secondly, you get a lot of checks. I mean, the banks aren't just going to lend you money willy-nilly. Like, you know, they check that you can afford it.
I think with a lot that's gone on in the economy over the last few years, treating customers fairly, serviceability is a key word that we use to make sure that people can service the debts. Someone might have lots and lots of assets, but if he's not got the liquid cash to pay a loan back, he's going to struggle.
There you go. You know, you might inherit 10 grand, you might get a bonus of 10 grand, you might whatever, doesn't mean you're like, okay, well, I can afford like 4 months of payments then on that. Then you're screwed, and then you're going to get repossessed, and that's a whole load of bother no one wants to get near. And I've forgotten, I did have another a small point on that. Oh, yeah, no, you're going to have a monthly commitment. That's exactly it. There's no point in doing this if you're not in regular employment or you haven't got the cash coming in to pay off these regular monthly bills.
Yeah. I can give you an example as
please
well
do.
Of
do.
That. I had a customer come in last week. Their salary was 20 grand a year.
Okay.
And they're looking at a 40 grand car. So their payments were £600 or £700 a month.
Okay. And you knew they were going to struggle to make
straight
that.
Away. Yeah. Because you're just not earning enough money.
Sure.
Their part exchange car was a bit less on finance. So in their head, they're thinking, oh, it's only another couple of £100 a month. But it's not just all about that. They look at the whole picture, the whole thing. And if you're not earning enough money, it's like Tim said, it's responsible lending.
Yeah, and I think it's great to give this advice and these warnings, but I also do want to celebrate, you know, what you guys do at Magnitude, but also the benefits. Because let's take me as a prime example, and some people might not agree with this, and I know there are lots of people out there who don't agree with financing. But for me, the McLaren is a prime example, right? I got to a point where I had a lot of disposable income coming in per month. I was earning more money than I'd earned before, and I knew that I could afford, you know, maybe like 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 quid a month on a car. I mean, it's a ton of money, but I knew I could kind of get away with that and not be completely homeless.
You did flap when you bought that car, though.
I flapped massively. We walked out of the dealership. I said, Tony, I can't buy the car.
It was hilarious.
Tony, I can't buy the car. I've got to call my mum. This is awful. I probably freaked out.
I need to tell my girlfriend everything.
And for 6 months, I had a headache, but I was able to afford it.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I couldn't have afforded to spend £140,000. I did not have £140,000. I could not have done that. So what financing allowed me personally to do at that point was to get into a £140,000 car in a more affordable way. It might not have been the best. A lot of people might say, well, if you can't afford it, don't buy it. But I had 6 incredible months with a £140,000 supercar, and I was able to afford it.
I think the other thing there is to look at that. That wasn't just you jumping straight into the deep end with that car. We talked about the journey initially. And what we try and do is, even at people at a younger age, get them onto their first car. One of the benefits of finance is you're building a track record up. Buying a house, your mortgage, you've got a track record in your credit file. A credit file, again, go back to the Idiot's Guide, is what the lenders look at to see if you've been paying your commitments with other things. That could be mail order, could be other personal loans, credit cards, bank accounts. There's all sorts of things that they can check on you now. So going from a £40,000 car straight up to £140,000, probably not going to work. We build that up over time.
That's exactly it.
18 months?
Not enough time, because I'm an idiot. That's exactly it. It wasn't like I suddenly woke up one morning and went, oh my God, I got all this cash. Like, it was incrementally increasing what I was paying per month over 6 to 9 month periods, that as I was earning more, I felt more confident and had the ability to push that money aside. Obviously, I'm a bit of a freak example because these cars are also business assets for me for what
that's
I do.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a unique example. This isn't completely just toys on the side. I use them for my work and my business and obviously create content here on the YouTube channel. So a bit of a weird example, but I just wanted to kind of tie it into someone as me who's a petrol head who dreamed of one day owning a supercar. I was only able to do it because of financing. I couldn't have done it with cash.
You still own a supercar, mate.
I know. Do you? I'm fully aware of that. But the Ferrari is financed as well.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, that's exactly it. I couldn't have bought those cars without financing. So that's why, for me as a petrolhead, I'm a fan of it, even if it's costing me more but and has
you
a bit
have,
more
you
risk.
Have built up your credibility and reputation, not only with ourselves as the finance broker, but with the lender as well, because the lender can see that that you've repaid them back on previous cars and you continue to repay them.
We have been with the same lender.
We've got more than one lender, but we've been with the same lender. But then other lenders look at your credit profile and can see you've been paying back cars of this nature, so they'll be more inclined to lend you money on other cars as well if we need to get you into another supercar.
Hello. Here he is, Tim, always shopping around. Let's talk some examples then, because I just touched a little bit briefly on the McLaren. But you've knocked up very kindly some specific examples of three cars at different points in the market. We're going to the performance supercar related. We'll touch on a second on sort of more everyday cars. But what have you got? What have you knocked up for us?
We've tend to look at three different levels of car. We've got the supercar going straight into the Huracan. We've then got an R8 V10 Plus. Someone wanted that one.
Oh, at some point.
And then we've got a slightly lower car, still expensive, and but one that we feel is really good value for money. And what I think, and Tony probably agrees, sells quite a lot of in the marketplace and are easy to sell. So that is the C63.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, we know someone that's got one of them as well.
Sorry, Paul, if we're releasing all of your figures here.
That's ruined
this,
it.
Yeah, this is not Paul Wallace's finance agreement. This is just an example.
He's going to be shouting at the radio
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. He loves shouting in these podcasts. Okay, so let's dive into it as examples. Let's start off with the Mercedes C63. So what are we talking about retail price here?
So we're working just under £60,000, £58,500 on this one. And it's a live one that we've picked off the...
So this is a used car.
Auto trader. So we are looking at a 67 plate.
Okay.
Done 4,000 miles. And coming out of main Mercedes retail group dealership.
Okay, great.
Unless Tony's got one to sell.
I've got an S.
Oh, okay. Hello. So it's available at Gravelwood now. Maybe not on these figures, but anyway.
It'd be close though.
Yeah.
Call Tony and Tim for a... The S balloons are stronger.
Oh, there he is. Look at
the non-S.
You know, the salesman in the room, don't you? Okay, so 58.5 grand car. What are we talking about?
A couple of examples here. We thought we'd just mix it up a bit. We've got the straightforward £10,000 deposit, which is probably fair on that kind of level of car. And a four-year deal, which is our typical term. Most customers like to go for the 4 years just because it keeps payments down.
And sorry to interrupt you, because this is not leasing and this is financing, you can get out before 4 years, right?
Yeah.
You can leave when you like. There might be risks at different stages, but you can bail when you want.
You can get a settlement figure when you want to do, and one of the topics we'll come on to is that the regulated stroke non-regulated. These are all regulated figures, which we'll explain that a little bit
okay,
more.
Okay, so let's come back to that after the breakdown.
But yeah, looking at these payments over 4 years, £690 a month. As an idea, I'm not okay. going to say you're not going to get it cheaper than this, you're not going to be more expensive than these. These are just ballpark figures for you to work out.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that because, you know, I know for you guys to actually, you know, talk figures on such a general scope isn't always great. So, of course, if you are looking at one of these cars, if you found one of these cars, get in touch with Tim, get in touch with Magnitude for personalised quotations. But yeah, as a ballpark figure, this is kind of what cars might cost you if you're looking at... And this is a balloon PCP?
This is a balloon. This is HP with a balloon. That we've done them all on, and we're going to have two options on each. So the balloon is non-guaranteed. Let's just clarify that. And I think what we've based them all on is 6.9 APR, which is where we feel fair in the market. Yeah, you'll probably get a better deal. But Tony, can you add from that from your experience rating the market?
No, that's all right, mate.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, nothing pre-planned there. So,
yeah. I was a little nervous there. I was like, oh, Tim's throwing to Tony. What's going on? I'm out of control of my podcast. This is all going haywire.
Tony's
going
to say something not
like,
right.
We did all right there. I think we worked it as a team. Anyway, so yes.
So we're looking at £690 a month there.
Okay, fine. So C63.
Is probably quite a nice monthly payment for a car of that nature. And I don't think that's taking the mickey too much there. So hopefully you can afford that kind of thing buying that kind of level of car.
Okay, so let's say we want to step up to a sort of baby supercar, which I'm going to
cross. Can I just throw a mix in there?
Oh,
just
sorry,
very quickly.
Please.
I have another option that I put together.
Oh, yes, okay.
If you have a little bit more money to put down on day one,
sure,
we can get that car down to £220 a month.
Oh, my God. So what money do you have to put in that?
£20,000 down. Shorten the term to 2 years, and this is close to the interest only structure.
Wow, so literally just double it, so 10 to 20 grand in, but you're knocking off £400 a month or something like that.
Just as a different option, I think this is where being independent, we have the flexibility to look at all different scenarios. And
why haven't we looked at that my example for that? I mean, that sounds fantastic.
So because we needed £50,000 in.
Yeah. Good point, I do not have any cash.
So that's what happened with my GT3. I put a big chunk of money in and ended up just borrowing the balloon.
Ah, okay.
So,
because you knew the money you were putting in was safe. Well, you were confident that the money you were putting in was safe.
Well, my GT3, I got my money back.
That's the reason you did it, right?
For sure.
You wouldn't do that on a C63.
No.
Because it's a bit more risky.
No. But I put a bigger deposit in. My monthly payment was not even worth talking about. It really wasn't a lot for that kind of car.
Yeah. Okay, that's crazy. So I hadn't really thought of that before. So there is an argument, you know, 10% is a good starting point for a deposit, but there's an argument for putting in more depending on the car and your position and what you want out of the deal.
It is. Some people prefer to have a lower monthly outgoing, but they've got maybe taken a dividend out of the business, they've got more money up front that they can take out, so it gives them that option.
Okay, interesting. So yes, let's move on. I think R8 is for a lot of people the sort of, you know, attainable first supercar. If you're not buying cash and you're looking at financing, let's have a look at some numbers.
We do a lot of R8s. So
I
tend
can
to be the newer ones, but then going back to some of the earlier ones, so 57, 2008 plates, do a lot of those, and we can still put values on the back end of those to make them, again, affordable. So a great entry-level car for someone that wants to get into that world. But this one, 18 plate, pre-demo, 50 miles on the clock, again, coming out of a main dealer, we'd give the examples. This one is costing £128,000. So the same two examples that we did before, someone got £15,000 to put down now, so just over 10%. If we looked at a four-year deal, that one is coming out at £1,290 a month. Again, regulated 6.9, that's the common theme here. And the residual at the end of that, 77,000.
Okay. So, and do you find that traditionally the supercars and that do have stronger residuals?
They do, because there's a higher demand for them, but I think also a lot of these cars do have lower mileage.
Okay.
Because people are not using them as the day-to-day cars. We call them weekend cars.
Sure.
They'll maybe have a 4x4, Range Rover, something like that. They'll be
Tesla.
Driving around in. Yeah, Tesla. I was wondering how long it was going to take for that one.
We were being so
I have a Tesla.
Get out.
Model X.
Get
I love
out.
It. Cheers, Tony.
And how did you get here today? Just tell the audience.
I got the train.
That Tesla life, hey? That wonderful Tesla life. Public transport.
Am I blushing on camera?
No, not yet. Don't worry. We'll make you blush later. So then
what's
the flip reverse, bigger money in deal?
Yeah, so putting a bit more money in and going back down to this interest only. 25% deposit, which works out at £32,000 in this instance. Over 2 years, £550 a month.
Now, for me in an RA, I would not advise that.
Say that again. I completely missed. I wasn't listening.
£32,000 down.
Yeah.
£550 a month, and the residual at the end, 96 after 2 years.
Wait. So we can work out
2 years on an RA.
No. But we can work out. So if you go back, so a 2016 plate RA.
Yeah.
With 10,000 miles on it, V10 plus, is about 100 grand. So that'd be about right.
But from my side here,
I would err on the side of caution of those two deals, because you theoretically, whilst there's a bigger deposit, you've got the smaller monthly payment. That might be attractive to someone. Go, oh yeah, I don't have that big a monthly payment. But actually, as an overall deal, you might...
Well, I think what you're probably trying to get to here is, Sam, that you're subsidising your monthly payment. You're using your money up front to have the benefit of a lower payment. From what Tony said in the valuation, you're going to hopefully walk out clean after 2 years.
Yeah, there won't be no money left.
But there's no money left, so you're then going to have to find more money to go down to your next car.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
So rather than paying more per month, you're really just paying it all up front.
There we go.
And less per month.
There we go. So it depends how you want to do it. But from my side, if you're going to finance, you might as well just trickle it out. But
yeah, you're paying the depreciation monthly as opposed to paying it up front.
There we go. See, these guys, that's why these guys are here, to articulate me in a better way.
I do think it's worth highlighting everyone has a different opportunity and different end games of what they want to do. So that's why a lot of what we do is bespoke, to look at everyone's own individual examples.
Tailored.
There you go.
I do remember the first conversation we had when you said, what do you do for a living? And I went, well, I'm a YouTuber. And you were like, oh God.
What is this?
This is going to take a while. Yes. So I appreciated all the help there. Final big hitter. We're going to look at Huracan. So not too dissimilar from the R8, but Lambo badge.
So yep, Lambo badge, taking it up another notch. So 200,000, again, this is another 18 plate, 50 miles on the clock. So a demo coming out of, again, a main dealer. Looking at this one, again, with the similar kind of options before, £25,000 deposit going down.
What's the price
Tony's
of the car for this
figures,
one? Sorry.
Comparing it to what he's been paying.
Yeah. What a powerful manager for this. What's the price of the car, sorry?
£200,000.
£200,000 car, okay.
Wow. So £25,000 down.
Yeah.
4 years. And this is coming out to £2,290 with £103,000 at the end.
My purple Manti's cheaper than that.
Well, because it's surely got a stronger residual.
It's got a stronger residual, that's why.
I mean, but here is an example for a lot of people who are sort of finance haters, who sort of go, oh yeah, car's on finance, you don't really own it, like whatever. I mean, £2,200 a month?
£2,300 a month, yeah.
I'm sorry, you've got to be a rich man to be paying that off per month. Like, here he is. You've got three of them. Tony's
hello.
Waving. For audio-only listeners, Tony is waving to camera. But in all seriousness, because, you know, I do think that's a sort of a bit of the stigma and a bit of the misconception around financing is, oh, you know, you're not really... You know, it's a sort of cheap... It's a cheapskate way to buy a car, but I don't think that
that's
is...
Not cheap.
No, that's not.
Well, you factored your tax in as well.
Yeah, nearly £2,500 per month. Like you are committed to that.
Yep.
Like, you can't escape that. You are.
Welcome to my world.
That's why Tony hasn't slept for 4 days.
4 years.
And then again, we'll provide just the final flip reverse it for the Huracan.
So the last one, doubling the deposit. So we're at £50,000, shortening the term to 2 years, £865 a month. Sounds more achievable.
Yeah.
And £150 at the end of 2 years. Thoughts on value, Tony?
Lambo, Huracans are strong. So when you said the original payment at 108, you're going to have a chunk of money at the end of that. You'll get your deposit back and more.
So put that in spec, that's almost like a savings plan.
You are paying
£2,200 a month, but you're going to get some of that back at the end.
You will, because 2014-15 Huracan, there's still 150, 160 with... 10,000 miles on them. So there you go.
Now, we've looked there at three pretty new cars. You did touch on the fact that you've done quite a few of the sort of old generation R8. You have, as we've mentioned, financed my 360 2002 year car,
which is amazing.
Incredible. Is there a sort of limit? Can you kind of finance anything? Is it harder with old cars? Like, how?
I think with old cars, it just takes a bit more research to look at what the future value is going to be. But on the older ones, hopefully, there's less depreciation involved. And some of these, we have customers that just buy them purely as investments and want to keep them longer term. I guess instead of a pension these days, some people do. So yeah, we can look at funding anything. And most main dealers will probably go to 3-4 years old at the start and won't do anything older than that. Whereas we can go to 20-30 years, okay. real classics.
Real classics. And then in terms of value, is there a sort of a point, a value of a car where it's not worth financing? Because we just went from sort of 50 grand up. If you want to finance a car for 20 grand, for 15 grand, like... When would you advise to not?
I think it's got to be economical, and there are instances where we turn around and say to a customer, well, you can go online and get, I call them supermarket loans, you're Sainsbury's, your Tesco, which are very, very cheap, and they're just a straight loan. They tend to go up to about 15,000. So we people ask, yes, we will go down as low as 15, but I guess our starting point would be £25,000 and upwards.
Okay, so that's kind of where. And Tony, you're the same. Do you get requests for people financing?
Yeah, we do, but predominantly people 10 and 15 grand that they normally get a bank loan or because they're for nothing. They're like 2 and 3% and they really are for nothing.
And I think I don't know, again, personal opinion as a non-expert, as a car buyer, I think if you're buying a car for 15 grand, you might as well own it outright. I mean, just to avoid the hassle. I know it's a lot of money to try and raise, but at that point, I think a lot of the
places you go to buy these cars from, the dealers, the main dealers, they all have subsidised finance. They might have 0% schemes and things like that. Because there's a lower interest element, because it's a much lower value car, they can make it lots of incentives for people.
Yeah, or leasing at that point. I have to say, instead of borrowing the money, renting the car long term of a 15 grand car. I mean, I looked at a smart car once, which was ridiculous, like £100 a month for a lease.
Would you get in one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the new smart car. Turning circle's fantastic.
Really good.
Yeah, Brabus spec. Now, we did talk about regulated and non-regulated, something you touched on as we were going through those figures. Now, this might be a little bit...
A little bit too deep, yes. But I think it's just worth highlighting.
It might be muddy waters, so let's take it slow and see what is regulated versus non-regulated.
Well, we have a full article on our website. Oh,
there we go.
Wants to go and have a look at that, a bit
plug,
more detail.
Good plug, perfect. For those of you watching on YouTube, a link below to the Magnitude website, and I'll probably link that article as well. Those of you listening online, magnitudefinance.com.
You should know, it must be one of your favourites.
it really is. Online calculator is bookmarked on my page. Anyway, so yes.
So the regulated, non-regulated, not too much detail, but most of this comes down to the settlement regime. And a lot of our customers will do a 3 or 4 year finance agreement. Very, very rarely keep them that amount of time. 6 months for you, Tony?
Hello.
Yes. 3 months for you?
3 months. Me personally? Six or eight months.
It is having the flexibility to come out of these things without being penalised heavily. Regulated products, a few complexities about where they have to be signed on trade premises, which we overcome. But you can come out of that very, very easily. And it's a fixed rate deal, dead straightforward. And that's what most of the main dealers will offer you. We offer that and we do quite a lot of that. Non-regulated, this is where to be very careful because this can be a minefield. And we'd always try and guide customers best we can here. Non-regulated deals, all the interest can be front-loaded with some of these, or there can be some very heavy settlement penalties to come out of that. And that's purely because they're not within the Consumer Credit Act. They're outside of that. And typically, people have been forced into those saying that they will use the car for business use, which not many do, in fairness. Or some will sign a business user or a high net worth exemption, things like that. I know I'm getting a bit technical here. But all I'm saying is be careful. We'll speak to you. We'll guide you the best way we can. And if you are keeping it longer term, sometimes that might be the right way to do it with it being cheaper money. But again, lots and lots of options.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, and you actually explained it I think really well and really clearly, and fundamentally there are so many options when it comes to financing. I mean, you know, from dealers to independents, just lots of things. It is a minefield, I think is the best way to describe it. And in all seriousness, if you are looking at a financing product, not only is the Magnitude website good for this kind of advice, and there are articles on there, but I'm gonna ruin your day now, Tim, and say do feel free to get in touch with Tim just for some advice every now and again as well. I mean, I'm not telling everyone to call him up every... Oh, dear. But I think even if you're speaking to a dealer, and sometimes, you know, whether you're dealing with Ferrari and you just want to be part of the Ferrari network and want to be involved, and so you kind of want their finance, or you're in a main deal or whatever... Tim is a Yoda of this world, and might just be able to help you, you know, help point out a few potential pitholes in any agreement that you're being sold. So I think it's just worth taking your time and not feeling rushed into these agreements, because that's what I find when I go into the main dealers. They do really push financing and tend to just do a bit of jargon that you don't really follow, and before you know it, you're signing an agreement that you don't really understand.
They say they earn their money. There's no money in what we call the metal anymore.
So from a dealer point of view, you really want to push financing, because...
Not me, because we work differently because we're specialists. So the independent,
but the mainline dealers.
The main franchise dealers, in their new cars, they don't have any money in them anymore. So they have to sell the finance to make any money.
But I feel like their way of selling finance is, you'll be fine, it's just less a month, blah, blah, blah. It just happens so quickly, and I feel like they don't explain it, and...
I've definitely had, as I say, with the TT, I had a penalty for coming out early, and I was theoretically in negative equity, but they were very kind and you know, it's settled me for nothing.
Okay, well, we'll take it in.
Yeah, exactly, literally that. So I do this thing, you know, be careful, don't rush into these agreements. Now, what I want to do is answer some of your questions, because I did put a tweet out last night saying that we're going to be finally doing our financing special, and some of you have tweeted back with the hashtag behind the glass, hashtag behind the glass, hashtag. Something like that. So we're going to try and rattle through a few of these questions now. Most of these will probably be aimed at Tim, but Tony, please do get involved.
Martin, I'll go straight for that one. Most expensive or interesting vehicle we've done.
Oh, there we go. Go on, Jared. So Jared Hodges has asked, yes, what is the most expensive or interesting vehicle you've ever financed?
We've done quite a few vehicles over £1 million. This one springs to mind, a Pagani. And we had to fund this one before it had even been built. That was part of the term. So a real technical one to do. And I remember we did it in stage payments. Car cost 1.6 million overall. Brand new out the factory. Amazing.
Wow. How do you do a residual value on a Pagani?
Make it up.
Yeah. Amazing.
Should we tell people why they have to do stage payments? Or is that not important?
You can.
Okay. So specialist manufacturers like Pagani, they ask for money up front before they build the car.
Yep.
So that's why Tim would have had to have done stage payments. So an initial payment would have been £500,000.
Yeah, four payments in total. Yeah.
And Bugatti are the same. And that's why it would have had to have been done staged.
Okay, there we go. Thank you very much, Tony. Oliver Jarrett asked a sort of interesting one, which we've kind of touched on, but what are the pros and cons between a 4 or 5 year deal and a 2 year deal?
I think comparing straight deals, 2 years is going to be a higher monthly payment and you'll pay less interest. 5 years makes it more affordable because you can have a lower monthly payment, but you do pay 5 years worth of interest. That straight repayment, no balloons at the end.
Does it make any difference as in if you took a 2 year deal and want to get out after a year, or if you took a 5 year deal and want to get out after a year?
It all depends when you're looking at settling that agreement, really. If you are coming out of it early, after in a 2 year deal, you're going to have paid half the finance off, so you should have a lot more equity in the car. Whereas in a 5 year deal, if you're coming out after the first year again, you're going to have a lot more built up because you've not paid as much back.
Okay. A couple more that we'll rattle through very quickly. Sebastian Van Helden, what happens if you crash a car when you're financing it?
Hopefully you'll be insured. That is one of the conditions of all finance agreements, to be fully comprehensively insured. The finance company will then, you have to notify them, and the insurance company will pay out the finance sum. There are times where sometimes there's some negative equity involved and you may have to put something towards it, or if you don't and the car's worth less, you might get money back. There are specialist insurance schemes. GAP, you come across GAP before, Tony?
They
literally bridge the gap. So in this example, if you smash off your car and you owe £50,000 and it's only worth £40,000, the GAP insurance would pay out that £10,000. So we don't actually offer that, but there are a lot of the main dealers will offer that with cars.
Or leg it and then you'll never own another car again.
Yeah. Run! Okay, 1 second. I've seen here there's the Backhouse guys asking about restrictions on age, mileage, price, but no, we've kind of touched on that.
You have to have a license.
Okay, good point.
You have to have a license. A lot will insist on UK license. Mm-hmm. We have some lenders that will look at European licenses, but yeah, typical.
I've had it before.
Before
people come in and said, I'd like to buy this £50,000 car, but I haven't got a driving license. Well, then it's not for you, then, is it? It's for someone else. Clearly.
We don't like accommodation deals, is what they're called. Someone's fronting it for someone else.
Just trying to look. I think we've actually covered off a whole load of all these other questions. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted them. But we've done quite well. We've gone quite far and wide and covered most of these topics. I want to come back round to our sort of our key messages at the start, which Tony, you summed up perfectly with the statement that, you know, if it's beyond your means, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't ever do it. As tempting as it might be, you think, oh well, look, I earn a grand a month, and I could probably get away with £700 and eat beans. It's not worth it.
Insurance, petrol, running costs, it's not just the finance. There's a lot more you have to pay towards owning a car.
Unless you buy a Peugeot, it's just add fuel.
Yeah. There you go. But also, you're not going to get the enjoyment out of the car, are you? Like, let's face it, you're not. If you are,
you're going to be too tired to drive it because you won't be able to sleep at night.
You'll be so
scared.
You'll
be like me.
Yeah. Damn purple Mentos. So yes, I think that's the main thing, is do not push it beyond your means. Also, you know, it is not the cheapest way to buy a car. It's a useful means for lots of different reasons. Lots of people are going to have different ways to do it. This is not car leasing. Car leasing is something very, very different. Oh, that was my final question.
modifications, coming as a YouTuber, car wraps, exhaust modifications, wheels, things like that. How does that affect finance? Do finance companies allow that?
A lot of finance companies won't allow it. If it interferes with the manufacturer's warranty on these cars, they won't like it, and it then impacts on the overall deal itself. Wrapping cars, we have had experiences where cars have been wrapped and then sold on, the wrap's been taken off and it's scratched a high hell underneath. So little things we just need to be a little bit more cautious about. Not saying you can't do it, and I know lots of people do add these onto them and modify the cars, which helps sell some at the end of the day. Your F-Type, that,
well, there you go. I mean,
that sold really quick because of the what had been done to it.
The modifications, and from my side, my experience, usually just being upfront and clear and letting everyone know what your plans do or what you want to do, rather than trying to do it subtly in the background and then getting a call from the finance company going, why the hell are you doing this? So I think, if you're planning to modify, if you know that's something you want to do, just be upfront with the lender, with the broker, whoever, and sense it out and suss it out first, because the last thing you want is to have a voided contract or insurance issues or anything like that.
We finance a lot of the 4x4, so people like Urban Automotive, Overfinch, Carn, they all modify the cars. The lenders are fully aware of it. Not one of those tends to touch or mess around with the engine, which is why it's okay for them.
Yeah, so basically, stop supercharging cars, Paul Wallace.
You're just not going to get financed.
There was a pilot that bought your F-Type. He was a very nice lad.
He was a really nice guy.
Has he still got it, do you think?
Yeah, he does. He still tags me on Instagram.
Does he?
Took the white lipstick off, which I was very upset about. Well, I did that. I thought he was going to put it back on. But no, he's still got it. He still drives around up in Leeds, so he's near you, isn't he?
I'm based up in Leeds. He was 5 minutes away from our office, so small world.
Nearly two years ago now.
Yeah,
that was.
Well, I love that car. Anyway, I think we're going to round it up. Do you guys have any final points? I think you want to get off your chest before we...
No, thank you for having me. It's been good.
Thank you so much. Honestly, I'm so glad we finally managed to do this.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, great to have a guest. Yeah. And great to get into the details. If you have any further questions, please comment below. The three of us, or at least I'll be able to summarise some of the questions and get them over to Tim and Tony, or try and answer them myself. Head over to the Magnitude website for those articles that we've mentioned, or to use their online calculator. Whilst that it's, you need to do specific bespoke agreements, it is quite good for just nerding out. I use it a lot for just on Auto Trader, and then go, oh, I can afford this or not. And then I decide to bother Tim. At which point he goes, please leave me alone. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed it. If you are watching here on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe and turn notifications on. And if you're listening to us, make sure to follow. Catch up with you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.